Hey guys, welcome today to Charlie's Bunker. Second Facebook Live, and we're also on Anchor. Your host, Charlie, and here's my co-host,
Nelly Baby. Oh, you're supposed to introduce me.
That's okay. You know what? We were actually talking during the week, and listen, Facebook, Facebook decided to kick me out, all right? They're like, no lives for him, and we're not gonna let him do a live, and whatever, right? So I tried to do a Facebook Live announcing the topics for today, and it did not let me, okay? So the Nelly Baby here goes onto Facebook and starts doing a live. And I said, hey, man, can you let me in? Like, can I be part of the live? Because I really wanted to do this. And she said no. So she's going to take over.
That's a lie.
She was going to take over.
That is a lie.
So we said that today she's going to be introducing the show. So, go ahead. It's today's your show. Go ahead. Knock yourself out.
Hey, guys. It's Nelly Baby. And as you saw on Facebook, on Charlie's Bunker's Facebook page.
Continue.
And this is why I don't introduce, because he likes to cut me off.
Okay, continue.
Like, I took over that day, and I did not boot him out. That literally was using my tablet, because, again, he was having issues on his phone, and so was I. But I did take over.
Yeah, she did. She wouldn't let me in. Hey, we have a guest right now. I'm trying to log into my page as we speak. So, again, just go ahead, and today is going to be the Nelly Baby Show, okay? So, yeah, go ahead. Today's your show. You got in it. Go ahead.
I thought I was your lackey.
Not today. Since you know you want to do the live, and you know you took over 2 days ago, and you know you didn't let me into the live, and so
over.
On. And so
I
you
did took not
over.
Take
so
over.
I'm gonna let you handle the show today.
I did not take over. We were booted off of our freaking phones, and we couldn't do a live on the phone.
Apparently, we were not booted because I was booted. I was not on the live.
That was on our. I told you had to go on your tablet, but you didn't.
Well. Anyways, you want to go ahead and continue with the show? I mean,
all right, guys. Thanks for joining us today on Friday, May. What's today? The 28th. Another Friday. We made it, guys. Another Friday. Yay!
Sure made it. Yeah.
So today we're going to be talking about what? Three key topics. The first one is communication, like I said before on the page. And that's going to be our first topic. What is communication to you guys? What does that mean?
Okay, communication. That's a very interesting topic. And the reason is because 2 weeks ago, because I didn't record last week. Did we record last week? No, I didn't record last week.
No.
I don't know. Anyway, so 2 weeks ago, we were talking about, you know, relationships and so on and so forth, right? And at the end of the show, Nelly Baby here said, everything's about communication, right? And I hear that a lot. I hear that everything's about communication. Why can't you learn to communicate? Why can't men communicate? Blah, blah, blah.
Why don't people listen to me?
I know. Why don't people listen to me? So I said, okay, so let's talk about communication. What is communication? What does it consist to communicate with somebody, right? And I took the opportunity, and since this is Nelly's baby show today, so she agreed that today we were going to talk about communication. So start it. Knock yourself out. What is communication? So please.
Me?
Yeah.
You work in communications. I don't.
That is true. I do work in communications. No, I don't work in a call center, just to give an FYI. No offense to anybody who works in the call center, but I did work in a call center, and it's a pain in the butt.
Mm-hmm.
Trust me. People sometimes when they, okay, well, to give you a history, I'm a medical interpreter, right? So I pretty much communicate every single day with every person that I meet. The issue here is that when somebody calls the language lines to get an interpreter over the phone, the people that call the lines, they say, listen, I hate those guys. And by experience, I'll say, they hate you back. So I know I hated them for a long time, but again, to each his own. But yes, I am a communicator. I communicate. I do that for a living. I am a professional in communicating. So yeah. So what do you think communication is?
Well, there's two key topics on two references on communication. One is talking.
Mm-hmm.
Talking is basically putting sentences together. Yes. You're talking. And another thing is communications. You're sharing information, actual having a speaker and a listener.
That is true. Yes. I usually tend to do both. I listen as they speak. Now, that's a tricky part, okay? That's one of the reasons why I like communication. And I'm going to give the disclosure again. I have a thick accent. Sometimes I do pronounce words that are very hard to understand.
The juicy topics,
okay? So, I don't know. I don't know if it was going to be offensive or anything. But today I decided to go with some sort of Puerto Rican kind of accent. Do you think that's a good idea?
No.
Yeah? I'll be like, allá en el Bronx, mano.
You know, tú sabes,
over there in the Bronx, we talk like that.
That's not Puerto Rican. It sounds a mixture of Indian.
I know.
Asian.
Okay.
Asian Pacific.
Listen, one quick story. I got warned by Facebook too because of doing a bunch of all this stuff. And also, too, I got blocked from a page. I don't know why, but I do know why. I am trouble. But going back to communication, okay? Yes, it requires for somebody to listen, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, listening in itself, it's very complex, okay? Because the words that sometimes come out of my mouth, that do you understand the words come out of your mouth? No, nobody, a lot of people don't. But
we don't understand.
Nobody understands. But the words that we use gives us a different definition. Now, that's one of the reasons why every single time on the show I give a definition. Because when I'm working with patients or doctors, I have to be careful on what words I have to use, okay? Because there are moments, for example, oh, this is a funny story about communication. I was actually walking out of the hospital that, you know, we work at.
Mm-hmm.
And one receptionist, well, she was very nice because she was doing the interpretation for this young, you know, this young lady. And this lady who had purses, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they were going on and on about, you know, who's this African-American lady? Who's this African-American lady? I'm the only African-American lady because one of the ladies was an African-American, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the lady who happens to be Mexican, she keeps saying, oh, la morenita, right? La morenita, which is in the translation that it's given here in the United States, it's the lady who's from Africa, African-American, right?
Mm-hmm.
So then they're going back and forth about this conversation. And then I jump in because, you know, I was just walking around and happened to be by. And, you know, that's what I do for a living. So, therefore, I said, I guess I have to help.
Your ear stuck out.
Yeah, right. I mean, I guess I have to help. and I went and asked him, like, what's going on? And then the African-American lady goes and says, she keeps talking about an African-American lady, but I don't know who she is because I'm the only one that works there. And I said, okay, and let me ask her. So, then I went and asked her in Spanish, what are you talking about? Which African-American lady? Turns out, right, and this is the communication and the culture thing, that morenita, it's a person who is brown-skinned,
mm-hmm.
like us, right? So here in the United States, they give the definition of someone who is African-American descent. And that's very interesting because they were actually arguing for about 5 minutes about this. And the only thing that happened was a misinterpretation of mm-hmm. the word morenita. So when I interpret, I'm very careful of the words that I use because I know that communicating it could give you a different message.
Yeah.
Right? So, what do you think about that? Because I know you had some really good points about that in particular, culture and communication.
Yeah. Like I was saying, sharing information, and there's always going to be a speaker and a listener because it could be communication, but there's different types of communication. There could be verbal communication using words. Then you have nonverbal communication through gestures, body language, and facial expressions. Because with me, like if I dislike something, you could easily tell it by my face.
Agree. Oh, yeah. 100%.
Written could be letters and emails. So it all depends on what kind of form of communication you wanna even have with a person.
Now, let's go back to the verbal, okay? Because the example that I gave right now, it's from Spanish to English, okay?
Mm-hmm.
That itself, it has a lot of complications. Because if that's why we say in the field, do not get anyone who has not had the proper training to do translation or interpretation, because we know how sensitive it is to say the wrong word and pretty much start a whole chaos. I mean, mm-hmm. that just pretty much hands down. And that's from one language to another. But what happens when you're using different words in the same language. Okay, so for example, there, you know, in Mexico, we say coche, which is for a car, right?
Mm-hmm.
And in Guatemala, they say coche for a pig. Mm-hmm. So if you know, that happened to me too, where I'm talking to somebody, who was from Guatemala, and I didn't know the culture then yet. And I, you know, they said, oh, you know, voy a comer un coche. And I'm like, what the heck? You're going to eat a car? Like, oh, I'm going to eat a coche. And I'm like, what? Why would you do that? So again, the same thing happened, about 30 minutes arguing, how is he going to eat a car? So I'm thinking that he's going to eat an actual car. I was like, how the heck did you do that, right? Turns out then I found out that he was a pig. So how do you handle that the daily, you know, the daily interaction with people and communicating with the same language and the words they use?
Yeah, because it's totally different. Like, I have a different form of speaking in Spanish. My buddy here, Charlie, used to tell me that there's different references because his Spanish is Mexican. I'm not saying in certain, like, cultures, but Mexican Spanish. And mine is more Americanized.
Yes.
So my mom is from Texas, and her Spanish would be, like, text message, because text Mexican, as you can see.
I was like, dang, your mom used text message back in the day? I was about to say, like...
smoke signals.
Talking about Tesla and all.
Smoke signals, because we lived in the country.
Oh, wow. That's not right. I mean, if it was true, that was amazing. I never learned
how to actually... And then there's been situations where me and him will argue because I'm like, I say certain words that my mom taught me. And I think it's, well, I'm like, because I'm bilingual. I'm not saying I'm a professional Spanish speaker, but, you know.
Me.
Stickler over here.
Me.
He's the how'd you call it? The professional...
No, you can say a pain in the butt. I can go with that. I can go with that. He's a pain in the butt when it comes to communicating because sometimes
he's
when
a
you,
stickler.
Yeah, I am.
To
100%.
A point where like he'll 100%. Hit me. No, I'm just kidding.
That's not true. That is not true. I don't hit her. That's not true. That's so wrong.
No, but he's a stickler and he'll correct me. But then me being stubborn, I'll be like, no, that's not how you say it.
Okay, that's a good thing that you brought it up because I guess this is the reason why I brought this whole thing up. Okay, a lot of people tell me. Okay. It's impossible to talk to you. And I'll give him this. It is very hard to talk to me, okay? Not because it is hard. It is hard.
You're a perfectionist.
No, I'm not a
perfectionist. In your language.
I am not a perfectionist in any language, okay? Here's the thing, okay? And this is why one of the reasons why I wanted to bring this topic. The way I think when people talk, it's for me to get the right idea. Because back in the day, before I took this whole training on communicating, I used to hear a word and get a completely different message, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, what's wrong with that? Again, I'm getting the wrong message, so therefore that will create a lot of conflict when it came to me and relationship with other people. And that's one of the reasons why people say, I can't talk to you because you don't get it. And back in the day, yes, it was true. I didn't get it. But now I use techniques to clarify what people mean, and right? But as they're talking... Usually, I keep clarifying words they're using because I want to get what they're saying. Again, this is me in interpreting mode, saying, okay, what are you trying to say? So I go and dissect it, and my little gears are working, and I'm trying to get the proper message. But people get frustrated because I ask many questions, and they think I'm interrupting them. But in reality, I'm not. I am just clarifying what they're saying. Therefore, clarification.
Mm-hmm.
Another one of the reasons why we want to talk this topic is because she says that I use a lot of words and some. What is it? What did you say?
Oh, sometimes he thinks that I'm ignoring him or I'm not really gasping. Like, I'm totally ignoring him or even not even interested in his topic, which is a total lie. It's a total lie. The thing is that I'm hearing impaired, which means I have slight hearing loss. And, like, usually I'm getting old. No, but I've been like that since a kid. I think my mom never, like, you know, what's it called where they fix your ears and they put tubes in it? Tubing, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's because I suffered as a kid with a lot of ear infections. So I think it affected my hearing. So, yeah. And then my son's the same way. He'll be like, "What, mom. I'm like, can you like slow it down a little bit? And then it's worse when you got the face mask and you really can't read lips.
Hold that thought. Because my family's texting left and right and they keep making the screen buzz. One second. And I should have done this earlier, but I did not. So there you go. And we're done. And we're back. Okay. So it's going to, my huge hand's going to appear right now on the screen. I just want to see this. Hold on. There you go. Okay. So, so yeah. So sometimes I do use words that I guess there are words that, I guess they don't know. I don't know. I mean, what words do I use that it confuses people?
It doesn't confuse me. It's just that you talk really, really fast when you get excited with information.
It's the thick accent.
And the thick accent. And then I can't really hear you at times. So it's like literally like, I'm not ignoring you. It's just that like you need to talk slower and enunciate.
No. is that better?
Well,
no.
From now on, for those that watch our Facebook and as well as the YouTube, you're going to see my face like.
Yeah, no. Okay, see, I am from Veracruz, which is, okay, so everybody asks me, oh, where is that? What part of Mexico is that? Okay,
Costa Rica?
So I know, right? I got that one time. There's Texas, Monterey. There's a huge chunk of land next to the Gulf of Mexico. Then you have another tiny chunk of land that nobody knows about. And then you have the Yucatan Peninsula. And then you go around and it's Guatemala, right? Well, that huge chunk of land that nobody knows what it is, I'm from that place. So if you go to a map, look for Veracruz, bam.
That little smudge of mud right there.
No smudge. It's a huge part of that's like 32% of Mexico, the Republic of Mexico, right? Excuse me.
Oh, I was watching pictures.
We have all four seasons, all four climates, a bunch of ecosystem right on that state, okay? So whatever. Anyways, we tend to speak fast. Okay, we do tend to speak fast, and we're not as bad as Cubans or Dominicans.
Oh no, no, we love our Cubans.
Listen, we love you. Okay, no disrespect here, but
don't unfollow us.
Let's be realistic. We do tend to speak very fast. So we're in that place. So we're Veracruz. People from Veracruz are right there in the third place, and we do speak very fast. It's so fast that sometimes we have like three or four conversations going at the same time and we can understand everything. And other people are like, what the heck? I was just on the first one. Nope. Got to keep up. Because we ain't got no time.
So you understand Puerto Rican?
Yeah, actually I do.
Are you sure?
With the exceptions of when they use their colloquial terms, I do not. Because again, that's their own thing. Their own, you know, all right, somebody join us. Hey, what's up? Anybody who joined us right there, right now. Thank you for joining us. Communication. That's the topic. So, if they don't use their colloquial words, I'll be able to follow it. Okay. I do. But that's another thing. Okay. We go. Oh, there you go. Cara de bicho. Okay. Listen, last week or 2 weeks ago, I did say that I wanted to make an official apology to my ex-boss from the previous show. Okay. From Chapin Show. And the reason is because I was such a divo on that show.
And you're still a divo.
And I will admit, I was such a divo.
And you are still.
But now that I'm on this side, on his shoes, now that I'm in his shoes, and she's in my shoes, now I know how he felt.
Hey.
So I'm going to apologize officially in public.
What did he say?
Cara chimba.
I don't know what that is, but I am insulted.
Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. No. It means that I have a beautiful face. A beautiful face. So we tend to speak very fast. And if people don't get used to us or, you know, I kind of speak Puerto Rican Spanish, that's fine. But it's very interesting that because within the Latin American countries, we don't understand each other. We don't. Like right now, Coach Castillo just said, cara chimba, face of what? I mean, I guess a monkey or knowing him, probably
Simba?
Something. Yeah. Probably something else. Nada, apologies, abajo underwear. Oh, wow. That's why I left the Chapin Show, because I was getting raped. Anyways. Anyways.
I knew there was something with you and Cheques.
Totally different. Totally. You know,
I knew it.
I left him for another guy. You know, and, you know,
that sexual tension really,
was
strong, really was
right?
thick.
Too strong. So. Cultures, yeah, that's something that we also clash with a lot. But let's get into the nitty-gritty, okay? Let's forget about the whole technicality of communication in relationships. That's the nitty-gritty, relationships. I am so tired when you know, significant others, not my wife, because she's lovely, that my wife tells me that I don't know how to communicate.
Nice to cover your butt.
Listen, you got to learn how to communicate. You got to learn. So what do you think about communication between men and women? No, okay, here we go.
Mars,
what do you
think? And Venus.
Okay, well, explain. That's a good topic. That's a good point. I did read that book too. Men are from Mars and women are from Venus, whatever. But continue. Go ahead.
Well, what's the barriers in communication leads to misunderstanding and wasted time. Same thing as men and women or your significant other, depending on who you're with. It is, basically, that's all goes together. And I do agree on that. Because sometimes my mutual feelings would not be understood by my boyfriend. And he'll be like, okay, I'm spending time with you. No, you're not really spending time with me.
But let's be true and let's be realistic, okay? Let's keep it real. Mm-hmm. You guys do not communicate properly. Straight up. You guys do not.
And you guys have no feelings.
No, that doesn't matter. That's what I'm saying. It doesn't even matter because that's not the point of the conversation. The point is you guys cannot communicate. So, and that's a very good example. You don't communicate. Well, you don't have any feelings. What does that have to do with anything? It's like...
Because when we try to express or communicate with you guys, it's like the face just goes blank and you don't want to hear it.
There's a reason behind it. No, listen, I'm a man. I go through the same thing. But there's a reason behind it. There's a reason behind it.
And then it feels like it's not really going in and
oh no,
in there.
Listen.
In cerebral and understanding, it's literally just going in and out the other ear.
Listen, and Coach is going to agree with me on this because don't worry. Yoko's not watching this. But you can be as open as you want here. But let's be realistic. Sometimes, when women talk to us, we hold back because we don't want to argue. And we communicate. We can. We sure can. The problem is that sometimes it's going to bring us more trouble. Why would I want to do that? Why would I want to do that? Yeah, there's that air right now. Why are we going to do that? There's no reason for us to get into trouble. Because I can understand. Listen, there's sometimes when we say things, right, men, and I know for a fact, and she can say yes or no. That's fine. But sometimes we say things, and you guys stay quiet because you don't want to respond with something either more hurtful or, you know.
Well, that's in my book. Like how he says, I don't really want to say anything that will cause something. So I rather just keep it to myself and just handle the day just the way. Just keep on walking. Keep on trolling.
Okay, see, but that's not communicating. But you want us for us to communicate. That's just...
But if you're not going to communicate, then why do I have to put my 2 cents into it and just look like an oxymoron?
Because we are not asking for you guys to communicate. Like, I can totally understand. I can even go back and say, listen, I understand what you're saying. And I can pretty much say what I think you meant. And either way, if we're right, you're going to argue because we're right. If we're wrong, you're going to argue because we didn't get it. So there is no reason for us to communicate because we're going to end up fighting. Why do I want to communicate? I mean, again, that air. So am I going to win this argument or is that?
Yeah, I'm going to let you win it.
Oh,
this
my God.
This is why.
Jesus. Okay. Any other points? Because, again, this is only with relationships. I mean, the significant other could have a lot of complaints about how we do not communicate, but also friends. Friends
in the workplace, if things are not communicated or given verbal, like broken down into, sometimes coworkers would get upset because they think that you're bossing them around. And then in my mind, you'd be like, okay, you're not my boss.
That is true. Not to mention the fact that sometimes a lot of arguments at work start because of the lack of communication. Sometimes, you know, the little mistake that the misunderstandings that happen at work create such a big problems. And not only that, nobody's listening, but the new generation of managers that are right now, and I've heard it from different other sites of anywhere else that I've been. They don't communicate really well. And if the instructions are not well communicated at the workplace, that could create a lot of problems.
A lot of tension.
Yeah. Forget the tension. I mean, sometimes the directions that the manager gives it or supervisor or whoever's in charge are not very clear. So us at the bottom, right, mm-hmm. the poor French people, right, we need a revolution. Now we're getting banned from Facebook. We don't get it. So if we cannot follow the instructions they're giving us, or we don't understand it because of the lack of communication, or they don't know how to explain it, then it could create a lot of problems in the workplace.
That, and then we only listen to what we want to hear.
No, I listen to everything.
Sure you do.
Of course I do. Mm-hmm. You see how I just listen to that?
This is why you nod.
You see how I just listen to that?
This is why most men, and give it take, I do. I'll just nod and smile and then just let you have it.
Mm-hmm. I guess. Now, another thing that we have to work on communication is with children. Now, this is where you have to be. Nowadays, you have to be really careful because you don't want to hurt their feelings. Oh, there you go. Jose Vivero says, I agree. There you go. See? Okay, I agree on what, though? Because I was excited that you agreed, but I don't know to what.
To giving it to you.
Thank you. Yes, okay. Again, with children, it's very hard. Okay. We'll listen to what we want to hear. Oh, okay. You agree mm-hmm. with her, not
Thank
me.
Thank you.
Nice.
Jose Viveros.
You want to give a shout out? Said somebody he agree with you.
Thank you.
Okay. Anyways, children. Now, this is a very tricky and complicated one because you can't hurt their feelings, but you have to give the proper instructions for them.
You have to give discipline. Oh, wait. We can't use that one either.
For them. No. Didn't you listen to the episode
to
on
our
discipline?
Last episode.
Jesus. Okay. We have to give specific instructions. Now, here's the thing. Oh, my God. This is how my brain works when I'm talking to somebody. Okay. We have to give certain instructions to children, right? We have to be careful not to hurt their feelings.
Mm-hmm.
But we have to make sure that this generation, because, again, I believe that there's not a lot of pressure on them so they can, you know, learn how to live life.
Free little bird.
They don't get hurt. Now, it's very tricky because you have to be very nice but very direct in a way they actually are functional to what they need to do. And that is complicated.
Mm.
Okay, now you go. Okay, Jose Vivero says, the kids nowadays are more sensible. Yes. Yes, they are.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, they are. And it's tricky. Oh, we got a third one. Hey, how's it going? Whoever's here, thank you for joining us. They're very sensitive, and it's tricky for us, okay, especially in my generation. Because we were told to do things and not question things, and we just did it.
Mm-hmm.
Nowadays, they question everything, but they don't do nothing. They don't do nothing.
Excuse me, guys.
They don't do anything. So that is a little frustrating. So you tell me what's going on. Tell me.
Well, what?
Kids and instructions.
And our communication?
Yeah. Girl? Yes. and
as you can see, the kids nowadays have really weak social gap, I guess. What's it called?
I don't know. I mean, I'm trying to figure out what you're saying because, you know, you're using big words. I don't understand what you're saying.
I'm not using any words. Attention span. There you go.
There you go. Hold that thought.
Hey, you know, because coffee.
Wait, hold on.
And it came back again.
And there you go. Attention span. Yes. Continue.
Sorry, I had a brain fart.
Apparently so.
So now kids nowadays, it depends on what we're doing. If something takes too long, it's really hard to process and keep the kids' attention.
Uh-huh.
So basically, you got to keep it short, simple, and to the point.
Yes. But you know where the problem is there? It's that if you keep it short and to the point, there's a lot of instructions that are not communicated, and it could create a big issue. Because, for example, with my son, I have to be very direct. Like, listen, I need you to do the dishes, right? So he'll do the dishes.
Mm-hmm.
What does he mean by doing the dishes? He'll grab, scrub a little bit, and then put it away, right? Obviously, that's the whole plan,
you forget
right?
The water.
The problem is that some dishes require a little bit more, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't do that because I told him to do the dishes. So then I'll teach him, right? Because that's my job as a parent. I'll go and teach him. But then he will do the same thing again, right? Because now he's getting a little bit lazy, mm-hmm. right? So how do I instruct him without hurting his feelings and me being, you know, calm? Because, you know, the attention span, like, but okay, give me an advice.
What do you say?
Give me an advice.
just reading his comments.
Oh, I'm sorry. I think we're talking about my accent. Okay, Jose Vero says, we didn't have internet and we weren't as spoiled. Now everything is on their phone and internet plays and a very big deal.
Yep.
My two kids are like that. Yes, yes, yes. That is true.
Their life around evolves around electronics and literally glued to their face.
Yeah, and you know what? It's really bad because they're not learning all those skills that are required to function at something. They're very knowledgeable, don't get me wrong.
They're very smart, but socially awkward.
You see my way of communicating? I know Anchor cannot see me because I'm like literally moving my hands, but I'm like trying. I'm like Tom Hanks in A League of Their Own when he's trying not to yell. He's like, like that.
This is when we put steps together and be like, honey, how about we grab the dish? You grab the dish, supervise it, look at it. Do you think it's clean? At it. Do you think it's clean? If it's not, you see that speck right there? You see that speck right there? Maybe if you would spend some more time on it with water and soap. And once you see that speck is gone, you could put it to dry.
I'm literally having flashbacks now because I'm trying to be like, I do that. Now, Jose Vero says, they can even make a huevo, an egg. That is so true. Well, no, not my kid. My kids actually learned the hard way because in my house, I ruled that thing like Stalin. I'm not going to lie. Soviet Union, Russia, comrade. But anyways, that's what they do. He used to do that a lot and it used to drive me bonkers. But again, somebody said, hey, listen, you need to communicate better. I'm like, how do you want me to communicate? Softly. And then I learned that 90% of communication, it's nonverbal. So then I just gave him the bloody look, like, dude.
Oh, that's me all day.
I will break your neck. Not again. Not literally, metaphorically speaking. Before I get canceled or sued.
Allegedly.
I know, right? Allegedly. If you don't do this right, and that worked wonders. That worked wonders. That's how I fixed that. But you had some points for us. So we can close and wrap this segment up. You had some points. What do we need to do to actually work better on communicating?
Well,
I'm a professional, so I don't need that. But you go ahead.
Yes, well, you're a pro. You get a 5, sir.
Hey, I'm a pro. Go ahead.
You're a pro. I'm a pro. Your heavy accent. All right. 7. Follow 7, the 7 C's in communication. I'm going to kick you.
7. Follow 7. There you go. Okay. Continue.
1. Jesus. Clear. What is your purpose? 2. Concise. Message. What is the message? And what is the brief information for this? Whatever the heck you want to communicate. Okay. 3. Concrete. Be clear and to the picture. Like I said before. Okay. 4. Correct.
No, I'm waiting.
I'm waiting for you to say something smart.
No, I'm actually waiting. I'm literally I'm really trying to learn this.
Correct information. You're going to give something out. Make sure it's correct. So that way people know that you're actually giving correct information, that it's going to be error-free. Okay?
Okay.
5, coherent. All purposes are connected and you don't have a heavy accent. If you do, you repeat and clarify it. 6.
Ouch.
Smartass. Complete. The audience understands what to do. And 7. Courteous. Use polite language where someone might not get upset like somebody likes to do.
I do get upset a lot if they don't. Listen, three opportunities. 3 times. Listen, I will tell you the first one, second, maybe third. Third, I'll be like, listen. We need, by this, you should get this. Like, there's no reason why you shouldn't get this. And then I go, okay, see for chimba.
Still don't get it, but it's funny.
I guess. And that's why I left. Anyways. So we're going to cut this segment off. We're going to go and play some music. Obviously not on Facebook because they're going to ban us. But on Anchor and Spotify, you can go ahead and go to those two apps or two websites. And you can listen to this segment, share it. And send it to everybody who wants to learn about communication and how you can avoid a thick accent so they can understand you better. And also listen to some music. Now, I haven't put the music yet. So if you want to listen to something or you think somebody might enjoy listening to something, ask a Colombian what chimba is. No, I'm not going to ask a Colombian. No, I'm not going to do that. because then either I'm going to get punched or I'm going to get banged. So either way, either one of the two, I don't run it.
What did you say?
I won't repeat it. I won't repeat it. Okay. Anyways, so go ahead to Spotify at Anchor. Listen to it. Send us a list of songs you want to hear so we can play them. Again, this show is for you guys. So you can enjoy it. Send us your music and we'll play it.
We're gonna send us your playlist, guys. And hi, Maribel.
That is true. I'm sorry. I got so excited and I'm not yelling or having a stroke.
He got so excited about you.
Yeah. I'm going to close this segment for Encore. We're going to continue on the live and we'll be back after this. Hold that thought. We'll be back after this.
With Nelly, baby.
All right, we're back. We're back in Anchor and Spotify. Okay, that was an interesting topic. If you guys want to leave your opinions on the previous communication segment, go ahead. We can still touch it because we're on live, and we're gonna put on the Anchor, and we'll explain it later eventually in the Anchor. But the second one, okay, and we want to tie this up because I think this is a very important, crucial piece of information that we need to touch. Okay, this is something that we want to make it a little fun, but it's a little bit serious at the same time. And this whole thing started because Nelly Baby actually watched some history documentary. Can you believe that? Okay, so explain.
I watched some educational information. Could you believe that, guys? Smartass.
All right, go ahead.
Well, what's today? The 28th? On May 30th, 1921, can you believe that we're going to celebrate this year in 2021, we're celebrating 100 years. 100 years that the Tulsa Massacre occurred.
How many years?
100.
How many years?
100.
There you go.
Can you believe that?
Yeah, I can. That's how time flies. That's how time works,
2021 actually. From 1921. There you go. Learn math, guys.
Okay, so tell us more about that. What happened at that moment? Okay,
well, 100 years ago, basically in Tulsa, Oklahoma, there was a massacre in what was referred back then after African Americans were freed from slavery and they made their own town, which was referred to the Black Wall Street. Okay,
yes.
And it was a segregated neighborhood or town from other towns. Well, since it was upper class to middle class African Americans, during that time of racial, how do you call it? Racial
discrimination,
backlashes, and, you know, all them other stuff. We want to be sensitive, guys. Basically, what happened, it was... I'm not going to say the ethnicity.
Some dudes walked into
the neighborhood and killed 200 to 300 African-American people from that neighborhood.
Now, why is it that that's important right now?
Because in the town of Tulsa, that literally history that occurred, 200, 300 innocent African-Americans, that literature is being taken away from kids in that school district.
And that's the topic. Why is it that now, because of being sensitive, school districts or, you know, school systems are deleting pieces of information of history that are crucial for us to know and understand are being erased or canceled? Or banned. That is intense.
Yeah. Can you believe actually news articles from libraries, like documentation and art, like archives, were literally cut out from a newspaper article?
What is this? What is this? Russia? I'm just kidding. not the new Russia, but you know, the Soviet Union.
It literally was cut out.
You know?
Literally vanished from history. Like anybody from Oklahoma, never, ever, that literally never occurred.
That is insane. And as we actually dug in deeper into the research of this, we found out that a lot of school systems are actually taking away a lot of books.
Yeah.
A lot of books that are I feel that are crucial for a kid's development. Okay.
Yeah.
One of the books, and I was very, very surprised about this book because this book it's very, very very entertaining. It's child appropriate. It's actually you can basically understand society, how it functions and how it works, based on animals. And the book, it's Animal Farm, right? Mm-hmm. And that book, it's and right now it's taught in high schools at a very high level of reading. But it's very interesting because it pretty much shows you how society is divided among different groups, and how do you actually have to work through those groups for you to be successful, and how some groups of animals are being oppressed and how not. Mm-hmm. So you see why this is getting banned. Like it's things that like that, and I'm gonna go ahead and say it's because of the sensitivity thing, but in reality it sounds more like oppression. I mean, United States was arguing about 1950s about how Russia omitting information, and how China is just, you know, oppressing the people and not giving them education, how they're hiding things. But then here you go taking away events of history, and mm-hmm. you cut in pieces of articles, and you're taking out books that talk about society and oppressions and all that stuff. Now you're going ahead and say that it's not. It's because of kids that are being sensitive, that you don't want to hurt their feelings. Because
that certain words, can you believe they're censoring Little Red Riding Hood because she was taking a basket of wine and food to her grandmother?
She's a wino. And what can
that you say? That was promoting alcoholism.
Heck yeah, man.
I was like, really? You're banning Lord of the Flies. You're banning what? Anne Frank, literally the historian, true story about Holocaust and the events around a teenager.
Yeah, so at this point, and for us, for our guest, at this point, let us know what you think. Because, you know, if you're in a school and you get an email saying, listen, we're going to ban Harry Potter, because that's one of the books they actually banned. Mm-hmm. They banned Harry Potter because they talk about witchcraft, and that's from the devil. Like, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? How is it that we've gone as a society so sensitive that even some books are getting banned?
And to me, Harry Potter literally emphasized having imagination and involving it to another world, and not only like physically.
Not to forget witchcraft.
No.
I mean, they are witches.
Yes, but it's you're using your imagination. Are we not allowed to use that anymore? Or was that back in the prehistoric age?
Not unless you get on PCP like the Beatles.
So I have to be on drugs?
Apparently so. Hmm. I mean, by the way, there's somebody who's selling THC, and it's really cheap. They're gummies. So it's on sale. So if you guys want to go ahead and let us know, we can totally cook you up with that guy. It's a legit guy, okay? It's not a drug dealer from the street. It's literally somebody who has
it. But I do know somebody. Just kidding.
Hey, whatever. Whoever she knows, that's her thing. But it's going back to the topic. But it's interesting because there's other books or other topics in school that they're not. It's not only the books. It's also the way the structure of education in schools is going for nowadays. My daughter came to me and said that the teacher told her that she doesn't need to learn all sides of history. That the only one that she needs to learn is the one they're taught in school. Now, if they're deleting information, like from Tesla, and they're completely erasing that, and they're saying that they're all happy and dandy, and you don't do the research, or you don't go in and study it, how are you going to learn? How are you going to survive in a world where you are actually going into a battle and you have no weapons at all?
To me, I'm like, not to make it racial profiling or anything like that, I think you're just you're whitewashing our education, because I don't see enough Latin American history. I don't see it. Or I don't even see that much. Yes, we see African American, but not as much. So what are we celebrating? Like, I don't see my son is a second grader going on to third. They don't teach him enough history. Same thing with geography. What are your states? Okay, where's
the states? I don't care about the states.
I want him to know the states and geography.
Like, you got the Animaniacs, you know. They still mention Yugoslavia.
I did show him that video, though. That was awesome, though.
It's Yugoslavia.
But I think our system, our children are getting whitewashed. That's why the mayor in Oklahoma said, we took all that information on Tulsa out because it was affecting our children. By children, he meant Caucasian children, because he didn't want them to feel embarrassed or ashamed of their culture for what their past ancestors did to, you know, African Americans.
And listen, no disrespect. Okay, here's the disclosure or the truth.
Yes.
You know, when we say whitewashed or, you know, Caucasians and whatnot, we're literally not going against that race,
that or culture, that group
it's of people.
Just
we're
basically
not.
What
it's the, what happened.
It's informed in the media,
right? It's what happened. So it is what it is. We're not. That's the communication part, right? It is what it is. It did happen. We can't hide it. Now, if that is the case that we want to hide it, then what about the other groups of people that really need to learn this? Mm-hmm. I believe, and this is my personal opinion, this is my theory, that the more we take away from history and our kids, they're not going to be able to function in a society that needs to learn. I mean,
they're being too sheltered and they're not growing socially or mentally.
I forgot who said the quote that if you don't, not learning history, it's like stepping on the stone twice, same stone twice. I forgot. It was in Spanish. I don't remember.
Imagine not knowing the code, the history or culture of your people.
I mean, good point. I'm going to go ahead and read a couple of comments. Coach Castillo says, I'm going to take it further and say that a lot of teachers are not properly trained to educate mm-hmm. children on That's this sensitive true. Subject. Correct. The wrong message could be delivered. For example, a lot of people hate a certain race of people for things that race did hundreds of years ago, and it's because it wasn't taught correctly. And that's 100% mm-hmm. true. I agree with that 100%. And this is why, okay? For many years in Mexico, we were trained or conditioned. You see the communication part? You see how that gave you the wrong information? we were conditioned that Spain, you shouldn't like it, period, because they were the conquistadors and, you know, they came and abused our people. But in reality, the people who did that died hundreds of years ago. So why would we hate a culture that nowadays they're like, whatever, man, we like you and it's cool. So those are the things that now children, again, they're growing up. And I can see the point where they're coming from, where they say, listen, this happened. You shouldn't hate it. You know, we're going to delete it. But then in reality, if we didn't know about our ancestors, for example, the Aztecs, mm-hmm. of all the greatness that they did and all that stuff, because the Spaniards did delete a bunch of documents
yes.
or codex from the Mayans. So again, that's what happens. That's that in history, the Catholic Church, the governments, they've decided to burn books and all this piece of information to lose it, to pretty much erase it. And we cannot allow that in the 21st century. That's just me.
And I think it's funny that they're trying to delete or cancel all these books and this literature and history. But do you not forget, yes, what he said, I see TikTok and YouTube. Do you not see that today's youth does not need an actual book in their hands anymore? That basically you could research anything.
All right, let's read the whole post because we don't want to take it out of context.
No. I'm not saying I'm just using the certain references.
See, you like her comment, and she's literally just like omitting everything you said. You see the communication part? You see where this went?
I'm not even saying anything wrong about his comment. I just said TikTok and I said YouTube.
Comment. Let me read the comment. Okay. Jose Vero says, it's what the government exposes to the children and what they see on TikTok and what other people do on YouTube is what they're starting to find right. And that is true. That is correct. That is 100% correct. But then let me flip it. What are the parents doing to pretty much avoid that and educate them that everything they see on YouTube and TikTok, it's not right? I mean, it's entertaining, but it's not mm-hmm. right 100%. But the parents, how are they actually fighting against that? And unfortunately, they're not, because they're allowing things like this to happen. And that's my frustration with this whole topic, because I'm a big history aficionado. I love history. I think that we can learn more from history than anything mm-hmm. else, but now we're deleting it.
Yeah.
And that shouldn't be it. Anything else you wanted to add here?
Again, guys, remember, we don't have the sources to look into in the libraries anymore. You could easily Google stuff. So if you think you're censoring your child into finding out what history is, you're not. Because they're going to Google it or YouTube it or like Jose said, TikTok it.
Yeah, and okay, so a little bit more on that. I just feel that there are some books there out there that, yeah, they're hardcore. I mean, H.P. Lovecraft. H.P. Lovecraft was a racist mofo, like you have no idea. But his stories are good. His stories are really good. And you know, using the N-word left and right, going against homophobia and whatnot, you know, with homophobia and against homophobics, yeah, him as a character was not good. As a writer, him himself was not good. But why not actually teach children that the author, the character, does not make the story? Does not make the story, right? So, for example, again, I love H.P. Lovecraft. I know he was a piece of crap. I know that he, as a character, he was not a good person. But I enjoy his stories. And I want to read something. I want to get entertained. Now, if it weren't for people like H.P. Lovecraft, Metallica would have never done Call of Cthulhu. Imagine how much these books actually do make an impression on people. And like Chombo said, everybody does something great. It's inspired by somebody else. Mm-hmm. And we are starting to break this from schools and the children's lives because of the N-word, because of alcoholism. Because what? You think just because they learn from books, that's not going to happen? Things like that are not going to happen? So that's my frustration.
Guys, let's not take away the love of literature and history from our children.
I'm sorry. Cocho Castillo said, that's a good point, but there are podcasts that are legit and have legit information, in quotes, like this one, wink, wink. Thank you for the compliment. I appreciate it.
Thanks.
I am not going to bug you on Wednesdays anymore because you gave me a compliment.
I will.
So yeah, why, again, I think as a parent, I'd rather expose my kids to every single book that I can find, and if they have questions, and I can educate them, and if not, I will find out, research it, and then come back mm-hmm. and say, listen, you know, yeah, this is what it meant, and this is pretty much in the concept of what it is. Now, here's another story that I remember, and it's very funny, because we were watching Disney Plus. There you go, that's the check coming up. They're going to send us a check now because of the commercial. We were watching The Three Caballeros, right? And what is it? Now bend over. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Take
I will.
It.
Take it. Yeah. I guess he did earn it. I guess I got to take over. I got to take it. We were watching The Three Caballeros, and the first thing that we see on Disney Plus is this. We apologize for the stereotypical and the idea of the movie. We are not going to take it off from Disney Plus because it's very popular and solicited. So we just want to apologize. We're like, okay, cool, whatever. I do enjoy the Three Caballeros.
Cultural appropriation.
Right. I know, I guess, whatever. It was the 50s, you know, let bygones be bygones. But then there's a scene where they're going through Mexico City, right? I think the parrot, the rooster, and Donald. And they start, one of the ladies starts singing boleros, but in English, right? And my kids are like, what the hell is going on, right? Like, they took a trip on PCP or something like that. And I said, no, because in the 50s, you know, the music that was mostly popular was boleros. And it's really nice. If you guys want to go check it out, go check out some boleros. But it's really nice. And they're like, okay, now I see where this is coming from, right? So thanks to Disney that didn't take the movie out, I had a great opportunity.
Disney.
I had a great opportunity to educate them on what supposedly it's wrong culturally because of, you know, the rooster and the sombreros and all that stuff.
If you're going
to
speak with your hands, quotations.
Quotations. I know they're not hearing me. They're not seeing me in encore. So, right? Quotations. And and we actually had a good time watching the movie again because we didn't watch it many times before. And now they're able to understand why that scene, which it looks like a PCP trip, now they actually get the concept. And it's good when you can expose kids to kids like that and give them the right information and they can get the background behind what's going on. But nowadays, they don't want to do that with kids.
I like talking nerd stuff with my kid.
Yeah? Like what?
Whatever he wants to talk about.
Hey, like, Mom, what is the sign of infinity and what is the purpose of it? I'll be straight up.
We're gonna use Carlos's outline for that in presentation.
Okay, now, funny story. When I met Nelly Baby many, many years ago, my kids were young, and I was teaching them about American history because I know they were going to see it. So I pretty much did about three or four lessons with slides from the moment the pilgrims arrived in the Mayflower from the 1600s all the way down to, you know, the shot heard all over the world, which, you know, Lexington and Concord. So pretty much about 200 years of history, right, or 100, something like that. And I was working on it, and she was like, what are you doing? I said, oh, well, I'm doing the slides for my kids in history, in American history, because they're going to see it, and blah, blah, blah. And she goes, can I borrow them when my kid goes to school? And I said, heck no, I'm going to sell them to you. So that's why the joke comes in that she's going to borrow my slides, because, you know, I did that. Such a nerd. All right, okay, now I'm going to close it. Anything else you would like to add?
Go out there and read a book.
And don't cancel it.
And don't cancel it.
All right, guys. We're going to come back with the last segment. Again, we're going to stay in the live on Facebook, and we're going to close the segment on Anchor and Spotify. And again, send us your songs, and we'll play them after this. We're back to the last segment of the show today. This has been fun. I'm really enjoying this. And why is it not saving? Anyways, I'll figure it out in a minute. Okay, so the last segment, and I'm really interested about this one. This one, I am going to get her so mad. It's not even funny. I might end up getting choked today. Or Shang.
Or I'm going to cry on live.
Or she's going to cry live. I mean, who knows? We'll see where this goes, okay? You want to go ahead and tell us? Because this is your topic. You brought this to me. You brought this one to me. You send it to me.
I didn't.
Yeah, you did. But continue.
The way we talk to our children will affect them later on, growing up and developing.
Okay. So she did send me an article, right? And it said, the most hurtful things that your parents have told you growing up. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have the article by any chance? No.
No.
Okay. So, you want to go get it? I think it's on.
No.
Okay. So, the most hurtful things that your parents have told you growing up. All right. So she sent this to me, and I was reading it, and some of the things that they said that were hurtful to kids. Not a big deal, to be honest with you. Not a big deal. But she said to me, "Hey, you were raised in a different culture. You were raised in a different environment. You pretty much, they abuse you when, you know, since you were a kid. So, hey, whatever." And I said, okay, cool. You know? Yeah. Yes, it will.
I did not say they abused you as a kid. You know, I know your mama. I don't want her to be thinking that.
She's not watching it. There's only two people there, which, by the way, thank you for staying. But they're not going to tell my mom. You can honestly speak freely.
I share it on my page. She'll find it.
It doesn't matter, you know? Okay, so, and this is where I have a problem, okay? And actually, this is a problem that I've had for a long time because me, I'm a believer, I'm a true believer, that yes, you have to keep kids' feelings into consideration.
Mm-hmm.
You can abuse them either physically or morally or mentally or emotionally, nothing like that. But sometimes you do have to get close to that line. So they can get some thick skin. And I'll give examples, but I'm going to let you answer to that because I know you don't feel that way.
I think it does. Coming from a person who was mentally and verbally abused.
Okay, that actually, I did not expect that. I thought she was going to rebuttal with a different answer, but no, she agreed with me.
What?
Show's over.
I didn't agree with you.
Oh, never mind. Then
I said it affects it. You do get affected by what your parents do tell you.
You see? Communication. Mm-hmm.
You're going to see Charlie getting punched in the face in a second.
Okay. Go ahead. Continue.
So, like I said, as a kid, I was mentally and emotionally, verbally abused as a kid because I was overweight as a child. And my father used to tell me things because of my weight and my mother as well. But my mother was clinically already, like, trained or... What's that other word that you were saying?
Conditioned
to think to be in a diet all the time because that's how she was raised. So all my life, I literally was limited on what I ate as well. So that, like, I know a lot of people say that in the culture, Spanish culture, they don't really believe in eating disorders and bulimia and body dysmorphia and stuff like that. But literally, it developed in my mind because of all this abuse. Not only that, kids in school were very mean and bullying because of the topic of my weight. So,
okay, yes, so yeah, there's some things that obviously they will affect you, right? And again, I'm not saying that it's not because people that know me from many years, they'll be like, "Mom, what are you talking about? You were like straight up crazy, and you couldn't say anything to you because then you will flip." And then you will eat some, you know, one day I almost stab a guy on the neck in the restaurant. Again, that was the old me. I'm a very peaceful guy now. Okay. I'm a very peaceful guy now. But I will agree to that there are some things that people or your parents, mainly your parents, have, you know, told us or you tell your kids that could be damaging to their self-esteem. That hands down. But like I said earlier, what are the things that you can say that you literally mean well? You're not being offensive, you're not being abusive, but it still haunts them, it still damaged them. So that's why I wanted to get the article, because what could be an example of something that someone will say that could stay with you for the rest of your life? Besides, obviously, the eating and the diets. But there's other things that I think they're not that exaggerated. They're not that bad. And they still carry it on forever.
I should get my phone ring.
You should get your phone. That's what I asked before. I won.
Well, I'm going to make a noise.
Yeah, go ahead. You do your noise. Anyways, so I think, all right, and this is my expertise, okay? And this is a story I tell my kids, right? One time. One in band camp, I didn't think of anything else. One time in band camp, you know, I remember that I was actually having a little conversation with my father, right? And I was already old enough. I was already 20, 21. Now at that age, you know, your hormones are still going raging. You know, you're still like, you know, young. Your synapses are not connected yet, so you're still in that stage where you get everything and take it personal, right? And we were having this conversation. I don't know how it started, to be honest with you. And he said, "You know what? Listen, I'm just gonna end this by saying this: I didn't pick you to be my son. You didn't pick me to be your dad." And we left it at that, right? So then I went and I told somebody, like, "Hey, listen, you know, can you believe my dad? This is what he said to me." And then he's like, "Oh man, what the heck? Like that's a little offensive." So now again, now they're feeding that little wheel that I used to have. Like, "Oh, what the heck? Why did he will say that?" Right? And I did take that for a while. That actually hit me hard. Okay. And then once the age started to kick in, and you know, I was more calm, and I was, you know, the brain already had, you know, got rid of all the garbage that it was in there. I started thinking about the conversation again, and I said to myself, "You know what? He has a really good point. You know, the things that happened and the things that we went through our life, he didn't do them on purpose. It's like it's not like he actually intentionally did it because he wanted to be mean. It's just the fact that either luck or faith or whatever you want to call it decided to put us together in the same path. And this is pretty much the cards we were dealt with, and we just had to deal with the consequences and the reactions and whatnot." And that's what I took from the conversation many years later. And I agree, that really hurt me at, you know, at a certain point in my life. But then I realized that he just wanted to teach me a lesson. The lesson is that sometimes life sucks. And sometimes, you know, this is pretty much the hand they deal you with. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you're just going to have to suck it up and move along, because life, it's not easy. Life sucks. Life, it's hard. Then, if you, like Rocky said, if it doesn't beat you, you beat it. How many punches do you have to, you know this.
It makes you stronger.
Right? So then I said, "You know what, that thing? Because that's a very good advice." But I didn't see that until later on. So that's my point. What is it that we have said that we actually do give with good intentions, right? We actually do come with a good spirit to say, "Listen, I'm not being a jerk. I'm just teaching you something that you need to learn." And kids nowadays, they take everything to heart. Mm-hmm. And they get offended about everything. And now they're having all these problems because, you know, you know, they just think that it's awful. But in reality, how many times do we have to say things where it's being nice and with the good words and quotes and communication? How can we work with this? I don't. Okay, go ahead. You your turn.
I don't know, because most of these sayings I don't really think are good. Like, well, one of them, I don't think it's offensive or anything or insulting or anything, like, because I said so. I say that all the time.
And that could, okay, so if I put myself in the position of your kid, that could be offensive.
Why? I'm the adult. Hurting. He's the child.
Yeah, but the thing is that you are taking away his liberty of choice.
When he's 18, he has liberty.
No, but now, because again, this new generation of kids, now they are, I don't want to say entitled. Okay, but they believe that they're entitled to that, to a choice. And let's be realistic. Okay, I want to keep this real. If you are 20, 25, 30, 35, heck, even 60, and still cannot make a good decision based on the experience that you have, right? Because, again, because of A, B, and C, what makes us believe that a 4, 5, 6, 7, 8-year-old is going to make proper choices when it comes to him and us be okay with it. I don't think it's right. I think it's more damaging letting them make those decisions at a young age when they're not ready. But because I said so, I can totally see why it could be offensive or damaging. But what does it say?
And then the third one is, my mom always used to make jokes like, I only had kids so they can carry groceries and stuff like that. I'm guilty because I literally, my son goes, why do I always have to do everything? Actually, no, I just told you to close the fridge. That's not a lot. He goes, why do I have to do it? I said, because that's the, I literally did tell him. I'm like, I had kids so that way you could hold the remote for me.
I guess the delivery was the issue here. I mean, making him seem like he was just an artifact, an object just for your convenience.
Not really. I worked 8 hours. You could help me by just grabbing the remote for me.
I mean, yeah, but again, this nowadays they're like, oh my God, me, your firstborn son, me, the one that
my only child that I will ever have.
Listen, back in our day, we didn't have remote control, but you know, they used to be like, hey, go get me this. Oh, he's not there. Get whacked a couple of times. You sure definitely learned.
How about you go change that channel?
How about you change that channel? We used to get up all the time.
How about that knob? It ain't gonna change itself.
I know, right? That was you're so old.
All you're right, older than me.
That's true. I didn't even have a TV. Your face.
Put those rocks together.
Heck yeah. Shout out to my friend Mauricio because I hit him with a rock all the time.
Poor guy.
All right. Jose says, it's like you said, they feel like they are entitled, like they have some sort of power and can tell them what to do. They want to control their lives. And again, I can't blame the kids. I can't blame the kids. And you're right, but I can't blame them. It's society, it's us, by indulging this. And again, I'm not saying to go ahead and abuse your kids. I'm not saying to go and smack them and break bones and, you know, lock them in cages for like 4, 5, 6, 7 months. No, I'm not saying that. All I'm saying is that they need to learn a little tough skin. And it's back in the days, it's called tough love, all right? We don't do it because we want to be evil. We do it because we want to teach them structure,
responsibilities, right? Lively duties, like learn how to wash a dish because mom's not going to always be there.
Now, just get over it. That's another one that it's here on the list. Number 5, and calm down. It says here, I have anxiety and ADHD that makes doing some things extremely hard, but it was always expected just to get over it and what it had to be done. Now that, I'm very guilty of, okay? And I could say that freely because I do that to my kids a lot. But hear me out, okay? Hear me out, because this is something that I did explain to my kids many times before, okay? Just get over it, okay? Sometimes, and whoever's out there listening, you can send us your opinion on the Facebook page on Charlie's Bunker on Facebook or Instagram. But hear me out, okay? When I used to tell that to my kids, like, just get over it, what I meant, and I did explain that, is that at that moment, the certain moments in your life or certain moments in time, in an episode of your life, where shutting down your emotions just get so wild up and you shutting down at that moment, it's not convenient for you. It's not going to work, right? So you're going through the really stressful situation and then you're like, oh my God, I'm not going to do this anything and shut down. Everything's going to pile up and you're going to feel even worse. And now you have to actually have a uphill battle just to come up from the spot that you pretty much gave up, okay?
Yeah.
And it doesn't work. It doesn't work. So I used to tell my kids, like, listen, I understand you feeling frustrated. I understand you don't want this to happen. I understand that that's pretty much very difficult. But suck it up, because if you don't take care of this now, it's going to get harder. And you don't want it to get harder because it's going to be worse. So do the little struggle now. Keep going. Finish it. Go through whatever you have to go. Finish it. And then once you're done, once you're successful, once you have whatever you wanted, the victory that you wish, then you can shut down. Then you can say, listen, it was hard. I get it. It was awful. I understand. But I did it. And a lot of kids nowadays, they don't have that. You know, the whole participation trophy? No, man. You need to learn that sometimes things are not going to go your way, but you have to fight. You have to keep going. I learned that from Rocky. But go ahead. What's the next one?
The one that says, ugh, you're being so sensitive about this. Translation, I don't like that you're offending or hurt by what I said. So now I'm going to make the real problem all about you.
Okay, I used to hear that a lot too. And again, that's one of the things that I did carry with me. But I did work through it. And I said, listen, it was just a matter of me learning how to not shut down at the moments that I needed to succeed. It's the whole sink or swim. It's the whole sink or swim. Do you want to drown? I mean, you can. There's always a choice of not doing anything and getting worse, things getting worse. Or you can actually just put that little extra struggle and finish, go the distance, like Rocky used to say.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that I can see why that could be offensive to a lot of us when we were kids, and also kids nowadays. But how are you gonna develop character and structure if you don't go through those things?
Yeah, you need to learn to calm down and understand that. Yes, people have feelings, emotions, but we need to keep them to a level where you're not affecting yourself mentally and emotionally.
Yeah. Okay. So let's go a little detail on that. How do we work that? How do you see working that out? Because that's one of the complaints that I get in my everyday life. They keep telling me, dude, you have no emotions. You're like, and just think about things and you figure them out and you're so analytical and whatever, but you don't have any feelings. You got to connect with your feelings, right? That's what I keep hearing. Connect with your feelings, you know? And then I said, no, I can't because I won't function. That's just pretty much how I am. But how can we do that where we can actually connect to our feelings and be able to function?
What I do usually, because I know my son is kind of anxious and he suffers from anxiety like I do. Usually what we do is I tell him, take a deep breath. Yes, you could go and do your rant, do what you need to do. And I'm guilty as well, saying calm down. Okay. Do what you got to do and get over it. Yes, I'm guilty of that too. And I shouldn't, because literally, like, that's my mini me. He suffers from anxiety. And I'm like, I know what you're going through, buddy. I know. So what we do is take a deep breath. I let him express himself. Let him talk to me about it, how he's feeling. And it relaxes him because he has a chance to do that little outbreak. And then we started doing yoga together. And it's relaxed him and calmed him, where he has now actual, because he's very active. Now he actually has calming sleeps. Like, he'll sleep like a light out.
See, in one of the things that I learned as I was growing up is this, okay? Shit's going to hit the fan once in a while. If you are lucky, once, twice, three times max a week, because things get hard, period. Mm-hmm. And irrelevant if you are a kid in school or if you're an adult at work, the same thing happens to everyone, okay? And this is one of the things that I will tell my kids eventually. I said, listen, there's always going to be somebody who's going to mess with you. Mm-hmm. There's always going to be somebody who's going to make you feel sad. There's always going to be somebody who's going to try to, retain dominance, because that's pretty much how mammals are. So just learn that sometimes you need to actually function as a person, okay? Realize that me, even though I'm an adult, I have no idea how to live this freaking life, period. And I told them that. I remembered when I was a kid, I used to see my father and my mother, and they're like, oh my God, they're so old, they're so wise, right? And they always know everything, and they always can handle things. When in reality, they were just trying to survive themselves and figure things out. And like I told my kids one time, I said, listen, you guys are alive, and that for me, it's a success, because the way I am and the way I used to be and the way I think, yeah, I could have messed you up even more. I'm not going to lie. That's pretty much, I'm keeping it real, guys, okay? And they learn that sometimes when they see an adult, all right, also going through the same struggles and the same, pain and the same, problems mentally or physically or emotionally, and you open up to them and say, listen, I know that I mess up and I know that I said this, and you apologize sincerely, and you go and you open up to them, they will actually have more respect for you, because you're being transparent. You're not being that authoritarian character that you are taught to be, because that's pretty much what we grew up with, and they actually trust you more. Now, that happened to me once in a kiddie camp, because I went with my son to camp with a Christian group, And man, we were having so much fun. I sprained my ankle playing the first day I got there. I wrapped that thing up. I was popping pills, ibuprofen. That's what I clarified. Okay. Ibuprofen and Tylenol the whole week, right? And then I will tell them stories at the end of the night every day. And then the last day, I said, "Listen, there's this crazy guy who hurt himself, you know, doing dodgeball, and you know, he thought he was playing soccer, and then he just messed up his ankle, and then he just pretty much rode the lightning, just you know, ran through it, and at the end of the day, you know, he's still here, right? I lost my voice. I was in pain. I couldn't walk. I pretty much." You're overworked old. I overworked it. No, it's a serious thing. But then I told him, okay, sometimes you're gonna have pain, you're gonna have doubts, people are gonna tell you to quit. But the only thing you need to do is to make sure that the persons or the people that are with you that you love, you give them your all. And they will appreciate it for the rest of their lives. And I showed you guys because I spent the whole week doing that. When we got home, one kid actually went to his mom and said, his mom came to me and said, "Listen, what the heck did you do to my kid?" And I said, "I knew nothing. I didn't touch him. I didn't do nothing. I'm just, hey, you don't know." No, he's like, "No," because when he got home, he's like, "Hey, mom, I'm sorry. I love you." Gave her a hug. And then he started doing the dishes. And then she's like, "What the heck?" So then she asked, like, "What's going on? What happened in camp?" He's like, "No, this crazy guy, you know, he messed up his ankle the whole time he was with us." And then he told us a story about how, you know, because he loved us so much, he actually just did all of that so we can actually have a great time. And he was cool, so I want to help you out because now I noticed how awesome it is when you actually do give everything for people you love. And that's what it took from the story. Was I in pain? You bet. Did I keep discipline and tell him, like, "Listen, don't do that"? Yes, I did. But those are the things that I enjoy, you know? And I think that you do need to actually put up with a little bit of pain to actually have a good success. What do you think?
What he said.
I didn't use big words. I did try to keep the thick accent to a minimum because I do have a bit thick accent. But what do you think?
Hold on. I'm sharing the post.
We should have done that in the beginning.
I had my phone over there.
I guess you're right. I mean, I did force you to go get it.
Yeah, you did.
Well, anything you want to close with?
Yeah. As you can see, the keyword communication is linked into both topics that we talked about today. And I know it's really hard, especially with the kids and with COVID going on and communicating with others, not only kids, that right now the epic time because of like the social distancing, we didn't have time to spend time with family members, friends. It kind of made it hard to communicate with everybody, you know? Yeah. And I guess lack of social communication and now people are coming out feeling awkward because now we are able to take off our masks if you're vaccinated, okay? And people are like, "Oh, wow, you got a face."
Actually, I've seen a lot of people without masks right now that I've known before the whole pandemic, and I didn't recognize them. Like,
right? What? I'm like, "That's Nelly." I'm like, "Oh, hey, guys, it's me."
Yeah, hey.
But again, we want to communicate. And yes, I know sometimes some references and things that we say really don't come out the way they should come out sometimes. But again, like Charlie said, maybe the way we say things later on, clear it out and expand it and break it down for the kids or the person that you literally told them because I said so. Because that's what I did with my child. I said, maybe sometimes mommy talks in a very harsh way and you get upset and you think mommy doesn't love you. But like I said before, you have to learn things in life to grow.
Yeah, and I think I will close with that too, because sometimes we forget that, you know, their emotions and their mentality, it's not as advanced as ours, okay? I know there's some people out there who they're like, "Oh, man, what are you talking about? There's some men out there who still think like kids." Given, there might be some. No offense to them. Follow us, Facebook. You got it. Anyways, remember that they actually do look up to us. Mm-hmm. And sometimes our words can be hurtful. We will not avoid it. That's something that we cannot avoid because it pretty much we also come with our baggage. We come with our
emotional scars,
and we're just a mess too. They're not as much of a mess that we are.
Again, guys, we're not saying we're perfect parents or perfect adults, human beings. We're not.
But if I have to tell you as a communicator, all right, this is as a professional communicator, okay? If I have to tell you this, make sure you use the proper words. And if you do not use the proper words, the best word you can always use that always changes everything, it's I'm sorry.
I hear you. And I love you.
Sometimes I make mistakes when I'm interpreting. I say a different term and then I go, I'm sorry. This is what I meant. And I've noticed that word, I'm sorry, it always does wonders. But again, try to actually open up, be transparent with your kids. Because this is, think about this. And this is something that people tell me. Oh my God, you're a great father. I said, no. I know what I am. I know what I do. I mean, you're not there. But this is going to be my goal, my golden ticket, right? This is my goal for the rest of my life, by the end. If they put me in a good nursing home, in a really good one, when I don't get abused, then I was a good father. If I end up in somewhere else, then yeah, I did a shitty job.
And saying hi to my number one fan. She knows who she is.
Yeah. Oh, weren't you going to give a shout out to someone from Chi-Town?
Oh.
She forgot.
Shush. And thanks to my number one listener and our number one fan who says that she's, and one of our besties who says that we're doing a great job on the podcast. Thanks, Yanis, for always supporting us and sharing our post. Hint, hint.
So, really a message. So,
thanks for everything, and we love you too.
Yep, we want to hear from you guys. Send us your topics. We want to hear about your topics. Oh, before I forget, next week, no show because, you know, I'm going to be busy with personal matters, and she needs a break from me once in a while.
That day, I might do it live by myself.
What's any different from this Wednesday? Nothing. But the week after that, we know that right now with the vaccine out, we're actually getting to the point where now they're trying to advise the people who are against the vaccine to get the vaccine, right? So because of that, we are going to have Dr. Nancy Glick. She is a specialist in infectious disease, and she's going to give us all the information when it comes to the vaccine, how it was made. We did actually a segment on the show. If you haven't heard it, go check it out. It's about the vaccine and all the myths that were going around there. And, you know, there was the concern about injecting the vaccine. But now we're beyond that. Now we're going to give an update. And all the things that people are worried about, we're going to cover that moment. So if you want to, please share this. Obviously, because of the topics, but also this is a very crucial episode that we're going to be having, okay? So please get questions, get people, try to involve anybody who has not been
vaccinated yet or is scared to.
Yeah, and throw them this way so we can have all the questions and we can answer it because we're going to have a professional, all right? With that being said, this has been Charlie's Bunker, and we'll see you guys the next time.
Don't forget to like, share, follow on Anchor, Spotify, Instagram, and iTunes. Okay. And don't forget Facebook. And don't forget to leave us some likes, follows, and comments on our Facebook page down below.
And share.
And share. Share, share.
And I want to thank Jose Viveros because he stuck the whole time.
Yes. And thank you for staying with us the whole episode.
And I just want to apologize to you for traumatizing you since you were a kid.
I feel sorry.
I did not traumatize him. Okay, maybe a little bit, but not. You know how I am. You know how I am. All right, guys. Thank you very much for listening. We'll see each other next time. Last time I pressed the button. Now it's your turn.
Ay.
Ay, ya está viejita. She's old. Bye, guys.